Welcome everyone to the Planet FM Sports Weekend on Planet 104.6, or if you listen on planetorg.org, planetaudio.org.nz. Hope everyone's safe. Cracking day here in Auckland. It's a beautiful day. We must have the old song, Four Seasons in One Day. And of course, you know, before we start, it's been a tough week, and you know, but one good thing we hope we can bring is a bit of entertainment, a bit of laughs, and you know, and because that's one good thing sports brings. It brings out, it makes us happy again. And of course, you know, this show wouldn't be possible without the support of Cole Electrical. If you're looking for the proven leaders in the electrical market, go to Cole Electrical. For infrastructure, commercial services, maintenance and system designs, go to Cole Electrical. And that is Cole, C-O-L-L, and their number is 09-3666-488 or info@coleelectrical.co.nz. Well, it's been a tough week, but we all got through it. And here to join us is my good old mate AJ, World Cup winning great All Black, and the $10 is in the post. AJ Wheaton, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Biggie. Yeah, and always got to look after the sponsors. So well done there, and $10, mate. Going the wrong way, you're still tied as, but nice to be on the show.
Well, you know, things don't change with me. After you and your friend, a certain Wellington supporter was giving me heaps on the, when we had our weekly catch up. You know, it was pretty hard, but I won't name that person, even though he's a Wellington supporter. He really wants to become an Aucklander or a Cantabrian. Anyway, AJ, wow, it was a fantastic start, a fantastic game by the All Blacks. 35, South Africa 20. What a start by the All Blacks. Shannon Frizzell, he is on fire. He, as a number six, you must just love watching him play. And, of course, Will Jordan, well, he still does not look 100%, but he was fantastic. And, of course, Richie Mwanga playing the game on a had the game on a string. What was your thoughts on the game?
A couple of guys that really stood out. I think as a team, the All Blacks stood out the first 20, 25 minutes. Really came out of the box firing and caught the South Africans on the back foot. I don't think many of us, if any, would have anticipated that start. But no to Shannon Frizzell. Congratulations. I mean, he's been under the pump. We've been trying to fill that number six role with some consistency and haven't really. So, he took the bull by the horns and set the platform, didn't he? And they all followed, and a great try to start the test match, and a couple later, and Aaron Smith, the way he finished off that move, started by Will Jordan, he was elusive. I agree, I don't think he's still 100. I still think he's still coming back from those niggles, but when he is, boy, just watch out. He is an exciting player. He doesn't look big. He looks a bit like a Terry Wright with a few extra pounds on him, but one thing he's got that TJ had was speed, and you can't beat speed. And no, very impressed with him. And as you said, Richie Mwanga, you know, the platform was laid up front with the big fatties, and just gave him space to work his magic with the rest of the team. And overall, the performance, tick the box and move on, because a great way to emphasise where they are after their victory in Mendoza. They're just keeping the pedal down, which is what we want.
And of course, we've got Australia next week in Melbourne. And of course, would you make any changes, bring in any new players? Do you believe Ian Foster will do that, just to give some players an opportunity just before the World Cup?
I think he's got to try and just really rub his stamp as 15 or 23. I think there'll be one or two. Be disrespectful to Australia, but you know, they're dragging the chain here a bit, and an opportunity to give a couple of players a chance to see how they react under the pressure of Test match. MCG, I hear it possibly sold out. I mean, well, 100,000 or 90,000, let's wait and see. So put them a couple under the pump. It wouldn't surprise me. With that luxury, the way the boys are going at the moment. But it is a test match, and the All Blacks are still building to that big tournament later in the year in France. So, yeah, just watch the space. But a couple of changes wouldn't surprise me, Peggy.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe they will possibly bring Anton Leonard Brown back, possibly give Luke Jacobson a go, maybe hopefully Sam Whitelock is right by then. They may start with him. There may be some changes in the front row, give Tamaiti Williams, maybe give Takiaho a start. It's all there. It's very, very interesting at the moment. Of course, you know, three have got to go from that squad, so it's still very interesting. I'm hearing some great news on Sam Whitelock's progress. So they're saying that he should be right by next week for the Australia game. So that's great. And of course, then we talk about Argentina 34, Australia 31. What a hell of a game it was! Looked like it was going through a normal game, but really that excitement at the end. Argentina taking it at the death.
Oh yeah, it was part of the All Black match, and then we sat back and had a couple of course with some friends. You know, I stress that word, something that you probably lack, but anyway, I had too many.
Oh, okay, anyway, that does not surprise me.
Yeah, we were watching, and we started screaming at the end there, and it was coming down to the end. Yes, I don't think it had the ferocity in some ways, or the quality of the All Black victory, but excitement. And near the end, I tell you what, I was cheering for the Argies, and a big smile on Checker's face. One thing about these Argentinians, they never give up. A couple of really good tries to get them back in the match, and then the Aussies come back with theirs. A bit luck with the intercept, but my word, entertainment galore. And again, just showing the Aussies, they've got a lot of work to do. To seal out a test match, to put them on the right road to a World Cup with some confidence. And I can't see it at the moment. I know we always say you've got to be a bit wary about Eddie Jones, but he got a bit narky, the old boy, and he's not producing the goods. And I'm going to say it, and they are going to rue the fact they got rid of Dave Rennie. And I think it's going to come back and bite them in the bum. But great entertainment. Well done to the Argentinians, and a great advertisement for Test rugby.
Absolutely, AJ. And of course, you know, Eddie Jones, well, he plays a long game, AJ. You know, I'm always wary of Eddie. He's been in World Cup finals before, so yep. he is a crafty character. Maybe he's fooling us all into insecurity. I don't know, but
I'm fooled at the moment anyway. He can tick that box because I'm a bit fooled. But anyway, we'll just have to see what happens.
Pacific Nations Cup starts today. Fiji, Tonga, and Japan, Manu, Samoa. While there's a couple of former All Blacks, Malachi Fekitoa, Vaifafita playing for Tonga. Charlie Famuina is playing for Manu, Samoa. Yeah. Isn't this great that those guys can come back and can play for their, you know, their Pacific Origin countries? So no, I'm really looking forward to this. And I'm going to say this right now. I think Fiji, you know, they're still the dark horses at this World Cup.
Oh, no, I think everyone's got a Pacific Island favourite. We know that they all compete extremely well for their home nations, and also when they play rugby here for New Zealand. Very multicultural we are in our Test match arena now. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it because it'll just tell us where they sit in the ladder. I agree. Fiji, exciting, and playing in the Pacific Cup here in Super Rugby. I think it's going to do wonders for them. And we're going to see one or two stars come out of this World Cup from Fiji, I tell you. And, of course, Samoa. We can never write off Samoa. They seem to rise to the occasion when it's when everything's on the table. So, no, look, I agree. A good time for them. It's their time. I think it's nice to sit back and just see how they're progressing. And as I said, some stars in the future will come out of this tournament in the World Cup. And, yep, Fiji, they're always a crowd favourite. Just love the way they play the game. Big smiles. They'll smash you, put your teeth in the back pocket, and then they'll pull you off the ground with a big smile on your face. That's the way they play rugby, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. And, of course, Japan, you know, you can never, you know, they gave the All Blacks 15 a good run the other week. You know, Japan, they're in a tough group with England and Argentina. So, you know, I think, you know, like Japan has really progressed, and maybe in the future, maybe Fiji and Japan, maybe join the rugby championships. Maybe we have an additional two nations. I would like to see that, but hopefully it doesn't diminish the product, AJ.
Well, that's the thing. Just got to make sure we have struggled this year with, say, the quality of the competition, from my point of view anyway. Believe that for another day. We could be here for a couple of hours.
Yeah, well, and of course, it's Auckland Club Finals Day and Gallagher Shield Final out of Waitemata Park, which I'm going to speak next to with Stephen Harris and Manukau versus University. And of course, well, I tell you something, I think Manukau, you know, I cannot see them getting beaten in this one, AJ.
Well, they've been the team. Probably the team for the last 2 years, winning it last year, the Gallagher Shield, and of course an opportunity to do it again in a row. We'll certainly put their names right up in lights. Unbeaten this year. It's theirs for the taking. Varsity have come right at the right time. Grammar, of course, about third or fourth, couldn't quite get over Manukau. So, no, I'm going to call it for Manukau. As I said, it's theirs. Go out and play what they've been doing all year, and they should come away with trophy number 2 in 2 years.
Yep, a fantastic effort by Manukau, and you know, and if anyone's interested in going out, it's at Waitemata Park. So there'll be a number of, I think most of the finals will be played out there. I'll be speaking to Stephen Harris next about that from New Zealand Sports Radio. Well, AJ, I have to say, and as always, I enjoyed our chats and our little bit of jabs you have at me, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend, young man.
Well, I do, and I look forward to seeing you when we're walking out in our streets, and put your hand up so I can make sure I can find you.
Cheers, I was just going to say, you usually hear me before you see me.
That's too right, buddy. Take it easy.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.
The day when you would get up out of here. So, long time friends, we remain the same until you return one day. I will say. I'm still thinking when we used to chill and reason till the morning sun. So we talk of places never seen before. Who would think you'd be the one to go out there over the mountains, ocean, highways. Still you're thinking I'm there with you, taxi. Oh,
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM, and of course it's club finals rugby day in the city of Auckland and Northland, and of course here to join us as he always does, my good friend from New Zealand Sports Radio, Stephen Harris. Stephen, how you feeling? You're a bit under the weather when we were speaking during the week. I hope you're all okay, mate.
Yeah, definitely on the improve, and it's just sort of come at the right time. It's dawned a really nice sunny but cool day here in the 09, which is great. And health wise, I'm probably not 100, but you know, probably good enough to head out to Waitemata Park for what should be a big day of rugby.
Yeah, it should be a big day, and of course, wow, the big Gallagher Shield final will be leading that with Manukau Rovers versus University. And, you know, let's be straight to the point. I just said it to AJ, I can't see anyone beating Manukau, and I'm going to say it, I think we both agree they're two steps ahead of everyone else at the moment, Stephen. But, you know, Varsity, they're in the final, and it's a one-off game. Anything can happen.
Oh, absolutely, Varsity will need to be at their very, very best. Of course, these two teams met in round robin, and of course Manukau far too good for University on that day. But you know, all that is in the past now. So they're coming up against University. Are coming up against the Manukau team that's unbeaten, playing the top of their game, play a really good brand of rugby. Just in terms of their starting 23, not a lot of injuries. I think that they did lose one of their wingers last week to a very, very serious injury, but such as their depth, they're able to bring Blues under 20 winger Sofai Maka onto the wing. So it just goes to show how much depth they have in this particular club at the moment. And of course, that depth normally comes through your development team, and they have a development team that's also in the final at Waitemata Park as well. So a big day for the South Auckland club.
It certainly is. And who are going to be the key players to watch in this final, Stephen?
Oh, listen, I'll start with Manukau because they've been impressive all year. Listen, they're two locks of very underrated players, Funnel Funaki, and of course their captain, Savalio Ropati, who's the skipper of the side. Now, not a big lock, but boy, these guys get all their line-out ball and more. They've got a reasonably good set piece, but a lot of their strike power comes around their number 12, Salatoi Penny, who's probably one of the most underrated players in the Auckland club competition. I'm still scratching my head why he's not in the Auckland frame, but we all know that when it comes to Auckland, a lot of the contracted players, super contracted players, are normally contracted in advance. But I have no doubt this kid will play at a higher level rather sooner than later. So he's going to be absolute key for this Manukau side. For University, really important that their pack, and they're not the biggest pack, actually stay with Manukau Rovers. Last week they were very good against Ponsonby. They actually matched Ponsonby in terms of their physicality, where the likes of their front row, James Lay, you know, who's been with the Blues, Auckland, and Louis Morrell, who's a very underrated prop, one of the better carriers in Auckland club rugby, will come to the fore, and they have a very good locking pair of Kalen Felici and Johnny Neary. Not the biggest locks around, but you know, University always mobile. But for me, the key to them is going to be their halves, Henry Saker and Christian Stenhouse, who have been very good all season managing this team around. So those are the real key players. If they front up front, they're half a chance. If they don't, could be a long day at the office.
It could be indeed. And of course, the other games, the Jubilee Trophy, Pakuranga versus Suburbs. Really hoping Suburbs can have a win there. And of course, in the Patola, your Waitemata versus Otahuhu. I hope they found the Patola. And of course, I'm hoping Suburbs, but I think Pakuranga too strong. And of course, Waitemata over Otahuhu. You know, that to me is a given.
Yeah, quite interesting. Some of these, because as you know, we had a lot of rain over the last couple of days. Now, some of these finals have actually been moved from Waitemata Park, which probably isn't a bad thing when you consider maybe parking, and you would imagine there's going to be a huge entourage that will come from both South Auckland and East Auckland to support their respective sides. Now, the suburbs Papatoetoe game has been transferred to Shadwell Park at 1 o'clock. So that, in effect, is a home game for suburbs. So that probably gives them a distinct advantage, you've got to say, Amon.
Absolutely.
Even though Papatoetoe have been finishing with a wet sail, and of course the Portola Trophy final has been switched to Sturgis Park out in Otahuhu. So although I'm probably going to stick, I'm going to be a little bit loyal there. Waitemata, they've actually got three teams in finals, respective finals today, up against Otahuhu. But I think the Waitemata boys will come through in that game. And of course the under 21 final,
yes,
between Pākuranga and Grammar Tech, the Arthur Bayliss Trophy, has been transferred to Bell Park out in Pākuranga. So that, once again, gives the Pākuranga boys a little bit of an advantage. Kick-off in that game just over an hour. So that's how early it's starting. And, of course, shouldn't forget the Stan Foster Memorial Final.
Absolutely,
under 20s now, that's happening at College Rifles. College Rifles v Waitemata. That's a 1:45 p.m. kickoff. And remembering there's also the development final, which is happening at Waitemata Park between Waitemata and also Manukau. So, good. At least it hasn't been a great season for the Waitemata Premier. The premier team, you know, probably underachieved, but I think as a club they'll be pretty pleased they've got three teams in respective finals today.
Absolutely, Stephen, and good on you for plugging club rugby. I really wish someone at the union would actually, you know, go and do this. And, you know, I'm not trying to have a crack at yous, but, you know, well, I know Stephen and the good work he does on New Zealand Sports Radio, you know, promoting the Auckland Regional Club Rugby brand. And, you know, and I've always been a club rugby guy as well too. So, you know, we try and promote it. So, you know, please take notice and please give us a thank you. Northland Club Final, Carmo versus Mid-Northern.
Wow, yeah, this is a goodie. Boy, this is the sort of day you wish you could basically transport yourself to two places and watch two finals. Unfortunately, they're on at the same time, but I will have a contact up at Seminoff Stadium in Whangarei for that particular final. Now, these two teams, they obviously met twice in the round robin, and it's one all. But Mid-Northern, back-to-back champions, that's what they'll be looking for. They obviously took out the title last year. They'll be looking to do it again. You sort of look through their team list. Boy, a lot of Northland players, Chris Apoa, JT Pook-Bellamy, Alan Craig, Jordan Olsen, Rob Rush, and that's just in the pack. So it just shows you what sort of quality they're putting out. On saying that, Mid-Northern got a couple of Northland players their own, and a lot will come down. If their pack can match the Mid-Northern pack, boy, they have got some very good outside backs, and Pissi Leilua can be a game-breaker on a given day, and probably the two underrated halfback first five pairing in the North is Donald Boyd at halfback and Nico Graham. These are only two young kids, but they are, you know, it wouldn't surprise me somewhere in the future if they get to wear Cambridge Blue jerseys. But on this day of all days, like Manukau, who are chasing also their first ever back-to-back title, I think Mid-Northern will also go back-to-back as well. I hope nobody from Carmo is listening to me. I'll never be invited into that club ever again.
Oh, I think you will, Stephen. Anyway, Farah Palmer Cup, and we've got some cracking games there. Waikato Canterbury, that's definitely the game, and Wellington versus Auckland, County's Manuk. So Waikato Canterbury, that one's going to be a cracker, Stephen.
Yeah, it is going to be a cracker. I look through these two lineups. It'll be interesting to see if doesn't appear to be many of the Black Ferns have made their way back into the side. And I'll tell you what, Canterbury are always strong, but they were very, very good. They were well led around by Kendra Coxedge when she was playing for them, but she's of course retired now. Not there this year. Listen, I'm going to go for the home ground advantage. I think Waikato will come through and take out the win.
Counties Manukau versus Bay of Plenty. I'm going to go Counties Manukau.
Boy, another absolute beauty as well. This Counties Manukau time, Victoria Sabritsky Nafatali. I see she's transferred down, played her club rugby in Northland, but she's at first five. She's a very, very good game manager, and if she's on song, there's a real, real good chance that they'll go ahead and maybe take out that victory. But we also know that this Bay of Plenty team is, the Volcanics are a very good side, but I think once again I'll go with the home ground advantage.
Tasman Otago, I'm going to go for Otago on this one, Stephen.
Yep. I think rightly so as well. I think that, you know, Tasman were improved in 2022, but I think the Otago Spirit are a very good side. They'd still be probably kicking themselves over losing that final last year to Hawke's Bay, and I think they'll want to start the season on a high.
And of course, Taranaki versus Manawatu. I'm going to go for Manawatu.
Yeah, Taranaki, Manawatu. Yep, makes a lot of sense. We all know that the Cycles are a very, very good team. Of course, they don't have their first five carries. Dillinger, who was a big part of that team, of course, she put herself out there, and she's now representing the other guys across the ditch in the yellow jersey. But that's all right, you know. Hey, we have to help them out every now and again, as you know, Amon.
Oh, but, absolutely.
I will go for the Cyclones to take out the victory.
And, of course, North Harbour versus Northland. I'm going for Northland in this. I think they're just going to be too good for North Harbour.
Yeah, these two teams met in a pre-season game, I believe, was it maybe last weekend or two weekends ago, and Northland took out the win that particular day. They didn't have Crystal Murray, who's a big part of their side. Of course, she left the Blackburn squad, came back to New Zealand for personal reasons. And, I think they've also got a little bit more depth this year as well. And even on the bench, they've got the luxury of bringing on TK Ngata Arengamate, the former Blackburn as well. So they've got some quality. So I'm expecting them to do the job.
And, of course, Auckland Storm versus Wellington. Well, one-eyed, Auckland's going to win. Easy.
Interesting, Auckland. Yeah, they'd be a bit fired up. They'd be hurting a little bit after last week, after going down in their first up game. But boy, I'm looking through their side at the moment, and man, there's a lot of talent in there. Eloise Blackwell in there. Of course, you've got also Mama Vaipuru, who's a very, very normally loose forward, but she's moved into lock today. And you look around, Mel Puckett at 9, College Rifles halfback, and boy, they still have a lot of talent on the outside. Vahakolo and also Vahai on the wings are very, very good finishers. I'm picking the Storm to bounce back.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just going to say this to you right now. That has been a fantastic review of club rugby. And, you know, Stephen, you do a wonderful job. We're going to get you back to cover the Farah Palmer Cup for us after all the club stuff is gone. But, you know, if anyone wants to just go on Facebook, look at New Zealand Sports Radio, Stephen Harris, he's goes around the clubs, well-known around the clubs, a wonderful bloke. And I have to say the $10 is in the post too, Stephen.
Oh, that's okay. If you take the tax off that, it'll probably be about $9.66 or $9.33.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. On that note, I will leave you to it, Stephen. Have a wonderful day and enjoy the club finals.
Absolutely. Right back at you, Amon.
Cheers. Thanks a lot. Stephen Harris, brilliant. The Auckland Rugby, you should get him to be your PR man because that guy is really good. Anyway, bit of music, and next up we have TJ Ashford from Auckland Rugby League.
Oh,
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender on Planet FM, and this show is proudly brought to you, this hour is proudly brought to you by Cole Electrical. If you're looking for the proven leaders in the electrical market, go to Cole Electrical for infrastructure, commercial services, maintenance and systems. Go to Cole Electrical. Now that's Cole, C-O-L-L. L, and their number is 09-3-666-488 or info at coalelectrical.co.nz. I missed that in the last hour. Sorry, Pat, I know you'll be having a very stern word to me about this. But anyway, let's get into it. Let's get into the rugby league part of the show. We have TJ Ashford from Auckland Rugby League. And TJ, what, I know you're out watching your son's semi-final, but wow, what a week it's been for the New Zealand Warriors. Not only they were so comprehensive against Cronulla Sharks, and last night Sean Johnson, the Prince of Penrose, has become the King of Go Media Stadium with a field goal and golden point time. What a fantastic result.
Yeah, it was, mate. Obviously, probably not the way they wanted to win, man, but at the end of the day, they wanted to win. So some of that stuff was character building, moving into the back end of the final series. But, man, how good I was there last night. Although it was a little bit nippy, it was good to
the TJ, we're just losing you for a minute, bro.
Yeah, sorry, man. I'm all the way out in the Bombays, man, so I'm trying my best there. But, yeah,
yeah,
no, it was,
cheers,
it was a great game last night, man. Good to be a part of, and they're in third sport at the moment, so hopefully results go their way and they stay there
after
the end of the week.
Yep, let's hope they do, and it was great to have that win, and it gives confidence. You know, we have a bye next week, which will be a good way just to get to, you know, for recovery for so many bruises and bones, and just rest, and then we keep firing, because believe me, I think that we're probably a win away from securing playoffs, and hopefully we're not that far off that magical top four, TJ.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. And there's obviously a few troops that are still in the injury ward at the moment, but expect them to hopefully be fit come next round after their bye as well. So, the boys getting some rest and bouncing back in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, and of course, some of the other games over the Thursday game, Dragons 18, Tigers 14. I looked for a little bit, but you know, to me, while it's NRL and we love it, It felt like a very much just a game just between two old rivals.
Yeah, it was, mate. It was actually probably not the best game to play on a Thursday night, I thought. But look, at the end of the day, Dragons needed a win as well as Tigers, so they were still fighting to get off the bottom of the table, both of those teams. So, it's a battle of the two Sydney clubs, but St. George just proved too strong at the end of the day.
Yeah, and of course the Broncos 36, the Rabbitohs 20. You know, Reece Walsh was fantastic. Toby Staggs, Adam Reynolds, Pat Carrigan. You know, they looked really on fire last night, TJ.
Yeah, they are, mate. And the good thing about the Broncos, man, is they've got quite a few young guys in their team now that have played quite a lot of games. So although young in age, they've got quite a lot of experience game-wise. So that's coming to the forefront of where they are at the moment. And the likes of Paddy Carrigan, who I believe is probably one of the best front rowers in the game or middle forwards in the game, and him and Payne Haas are just destroying teams through the middle at the moment. And then obviously you've got the classy Adam Reynolds as well, putting a little bit of icing on the cake. So they're just a classy outfit, man, and look for them to go deep into the final series this year as well.
And of course, some of the other games over the week, just coming into the weekend, Titans, Roosters, Night Storm. I'm actually picking the Titans over the Roosters. The Roosters really, I think they're not going to make top eight. And the Knights Storm, well, I think the Storm will bounce back, will be back to their best form.
Yeah, well, that's actually going to be an interesting game, man, the Newcastle Storm game. So Newcastle won a few back-to-back games at the moment. And the Storm will obviously struggle a couple together now after the Origin period. But it's going to be a good game. There's a little bit of blood there with regards to, Adam O'Brien, the Knights coach that used to be at the Storm. So there'll be a little bit of a grudge match there. Sorry, guys, I'm a little bit excited. My young fellow's just won a semi-final.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, cheers, man.
Oh, mate, congratulations. You must be so proud. We might... We, we, we'll keep going through that. If you get him near him, get him to say hello.
He's in his team huddle at the moment, mate. But no, you carry on, bro.
Great stuff. And of course, Cowboys versus Eels. And of course, one thing about the old Cowboys, so they're really beginning to come into a rich vein of form there, TJ. And Eels are always good ones. They have Gufferson back. They have Dylan Brown back, Mitch Moses. But this is really the game of the round, and I'm probably leaning towards the Cowboys on this one.
Yeah, I am too. They've lost. Parramatta have lost Regan Campbell-Gillard for about 4 weeks too, due to his indiscretion last week. So he's a big part of the cog for Parramatta, I believe. Those guys in the middle are the ones that lay their platform. So he's going to be a big loss over the next 4 weeks, especially leading into the final series as well for Parramatta. But man, Cowboys are. They're just playing some good footy at the right end of the the season. So look for them to probably get on top of the Parramatta Eels this week. But I've got Gufferson in my fantasy, man, so I'm hoping he does well and scores me a couple of points.
Yeah, I'd have to say that Gufferson, and well deserved, finally getting a State of Origin call up. And of course, the other two games. Well, I'm going to be straight to the point. The Bulldogs would need to win about four or five lotto. We need four or five winning lotto numbers there, because I think the Panthers are going to be too good, and the Sharks versus the Seagulls. Well, hate to be the Seagulls after what happened to the Sharks last Sunday at Go Media. I think the Sharks will really bite back.
Yeah, they definitely need to bounce back after that as well. And Sharks are in jeopardy of a little bit of a slide if they don't string together a few back-to-back wins. So, they're in desperate need there. And obviously, the other game as well, man. Panthers, if they win, I think they go straight to the top of the table just due to points differential. But you've got to remember, Cameron Seraldo's an ex-Panthers coach. So look for those boys at the Bulldogs to try and get up and get in the face of Penrith Panthers.
That will be very, very interesting. Of course, now we go to the Fox Memorial. Of course, played during the week. Papakura 36, Teatro 220. But we've got a few local derbies coming in. And of course, Manukau Magpies versus Otahuhu. That should be an interesting game. But I have to say, Otahuhu all the way on that one.
Yeah, me too, actually. I think they've had a bit of a tough spot at the moment, Otahuhu, but last week they touched up Glenora 62-0, I think it was. So, they're building nicely, moving into the final series. And obviously, they've got a really strong, experienced forward pack at Otahuhu as well. So, Manukau, though, they just don't go away, man. They're like little pests, and they're very physical. They're not a big side, but they are very, very tough. So that's going to be a big clash between the two South Auckland clubs.
And of course, a local derby at Fells will be this week. Will be Point Shev versus Mount Albert. Mount Albert's had a tough season, but I can't Point Shev. They're just going to be too good for Mount Albert. I'm picking TJ.
Yeah, on paper, I'm not sure if Aidan Acklin's playing up this weekend. He's available, so he'll Mount Albert there. But yeah, look, on paper, Point Shev just have the team. They got too much class. It's going to be hard to stop them, but they do have their second place rivals, Richmond Bulldogs, just behind them as well. So they're going to be a against the coming that semi final fixtures.
And of course, Richmond have got Glenora, and Richmond are really, really they've come into, they've had a great season. I think they're going to be too good over Glenora.
Yeah, and Richmond are there in their jubilee, I think, as well. So 110, 114 years, I believe it is, over there. They got a big day out there at Richmond Bulldogs Rugby League Club. So if you're in the city, man, that's the place to be this weekend. Congratulations to that club. They've been around. They've been stalwarts of the Auckland Rugby League for a long time. So congratulations to Richmond Bulldogs for all the success that they've had, and all the juniors that are coming through their club representing at a higher level now.
And of course, Bay Roskill really should be too good over Mangere East.
Yeah, both teams down the bottom of the ladder too for Fox at the moment. So although it's probably not the cream of the crop, it's probably going to be an even contest out there as well between the two sides. But both sides will try and string together a win, because there is a bottom six playoff as well that they play in. So the Fox Championship. So hopefully those teams can get up for those fixtures. But I believe Bay Roskill's probably going to be too strong for that one.
And, of course, Marist versus Howick. Howick are playing really. Howick, you know, they're contenders for the Fox. So, you know, I have to say Howick all the way. You know, my old mate Simon, who's a coach at Marist Saints, you know, he's a good bloke, but I really can't see Howick not winning today.
Nah, it's going to be a tough one for Marist, but they do have a bit of season on the line, man. So there is a game. I don't know what the points differential is, but if they lose, and I think if Glenora can topple Richmond, it puts them on even points. So it's still a big game for Marist. If they might go through on points differential if they lose and Glenora get up, but. Yeah, look, Simon has done a really good job with that Marist side this year.
Yeah, good bloke Simon is too.
Yeah, he is, mate. He's actually out there doing a bit of selecting for our representative stuff as well. So shout out to Simon and the Edamere family. And look, he's done a really good job. They're all homegrown there at Marist as well, man. So that's for the club, that should be a proud thing as well. Like, yeah, it's easy to go out and find players that are good enough to play at that level, but you know, Simon's been through all the young ones at that club, and you know, I'm pretty sure the club will be very, very proud of where they are.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Simon, I for years when I worked with him, I tried to say, come down and play rugby union for a season. He went, no. Loyal rugby league man. Of course, we go to the Shaman. Ponsonby versus Otara. Hibiscus Coast versus Papatoe. I think Otara and possibly Hibiscus Coast in that. Of course, Manurewa versus Newland Stags. Arewa all the way. The Marlins all the way.
And
yeah, and Ellerslie should beat Glenfield today.
Yeah, Ellerslie is struggling at the moment too. They had a big score put on them last week, so I think they're struggling to field the two teams at the moment due to injury and whatnot. But at the end of the day, man, there's still some finals footy to be played, so expect all those teams to stand up this week. But Otara just proving too strong in that division at the moment. I believe they're undefeated at the moment for Sharman Cup, and they'll definitely be the team to beat come semi-finals time.
They certainly will. Well, I have to say, TJ, well, congratulations. You must be a proud dad at the moment, mate.
I am, mate. They're actually losing the game 19-0, man, and I've come back and ended up winning. So I'm very proud of the young fella. So, yeah, it's good to be watching some footy.
Oh, mate, and congratulations. And, TJ, as per normal, I have to say, mate, you were brilliant as usual, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Amon. It's a pleasure being on the show, mate. So hopefully you enjoy your Saturday.
Yeah, hopefully we do. You know, the Friday, Thursday night, and of course Friday really started the bit of a positive sporting weekend. So hopefully we can continue it.
Yeah, it's always good having the weekend when the Warriors have won on a Friday night, mate. So,
oh, mate, go the Warriors. And I've been critical of them, but, you know, they've made me eat my words this season, and I'm happy, and it means so much for, you know, the Warriors. It isn't a franchise, it's a family out there, TJ.
No, 100%. And you know, that's a very strong brand for rugby league in New Zealand as well. So, you know, when the Warriors are doing well, grassroots rugby league in New Zealand are doing well. So credit to the boys there. Although they're winning the NRL, they're actually, you know, they're doing much more than that for grassroots footy. So it's been an awesome year so far. Hopefully we can continue that form.
Well, let's hope we can as well too. And of course, you have a great rest. You have a great rest of the week. We'll catch up next week. Thanks a lot, TJ.
Nah, awesome,
mate.
See you later, mate.
Cheers. Well, what a great bloke, you know. Must be, and a proud dad, TJ Ashford. Fantastic analyst on rugby league. I'm really lucky to get him from Auckland Rugby League. And, you know, go out and support those your local clubs. Anyway, I am going to put on a bit of music, because next up he's back from China, where he was covering the tour of Quintai Lakes, and that is Mark Watson. So we might as well play him a bit of a song. You can never. Welcome, everyone, back to the Sports Weekender on Planet FM. And it's, I have to say, if you're looking for the proven leader in the electrical market, go to Coal Electrical. Now, that's Coal, C-O-L-L, for infrastructure, commercial services, maintenance and systems. Go to Coal Electrical. Their number is 09-3666-488 or info at coalelectrical.co.nz. China in your hands, and back from China, the man, the legend, and always great to have him on air with us, Mark Watson. Good morning, Mark. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very well, Eamon. Thank you. Morning to you. Morning to your listeners.
Yep, well, you know, there are hundreds of thousands that are probably not listening. But anyway, let's rip into it, Mark. Obviously, welcome back from China. Commonwealth Games. Victoria have said, no, we're not able to do it. Is this a death knell for the Commonwealth Games, Mark?
Oh, look, I don't think the Commonwealth Games have quite had the aura that once surrounded them for a long time now. You know, I say the last great Commonwealth Games were 1974. I mean, some might say that, you know, Auckland 1990 were pretty good, maybe because we've been a little bit biased because we hosted them. But, yeah, look, the Commonwealth Games always used to just be a tier below the Olympics, because a lot of individual sports never had their own world championships. But I think since sports have incorporated their own world championships, whether it be once every 2 years or every year, I think the Commonwealth Games have lost just a little bit of their luster. But I think part of the problem is they've just sort of got too big. I mean, sports like three-on-three basketball, you know, there's just a whole lot of sports that I'm just not sure, you know, T20 cricket really, you're telling me that there's prestige in winning a bronze medal in T20 cricket for the women? You know, you go back to 1974, Eamon, and there were just 10 sports. You know, I think Birmingham last year had 20. And so I just wonder whether the model's just going back to the more traditional sports, you know, track and field, swimming, cycling. You know, I think in 1974 they did have lawn bowls, weightlifting, diving, but it wasn't to the degree that we have now. And so does it surprise me? No, not really. Gold Coast talking about potentially picking them up. What I will say, Eamon, about the Commonwealth Games is I think they're a really good event in terms of preparing athletes for the Olympic Games, if in fact they can take that next step. It allows them to experience an athlete's village. It allows them to experience quite intense media scrutinisation, opening ceremonies, those peripheral things that I think at the Olympic Games at times can be a little overwhelming. And can ultimately affect performance for some athletes, particularly at their first games. So, look, I think there's a lot of positives with the Commonwealth Games, but, look, if they weren't held, I'm not really sure too many people would miss them, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe, but I think it's just the cost. It's the cost. Once you add all those sports, it means you've got to have more venues. Like Phil Major, the Christchurch mayor, said we'll take it, but, you know, Christchurch isn't ready for that, isn't ready for an event. It's just got, maybe the machine has got too big and it's just become uncontrollable, like free-and-free basketball. You know, I enjoy rugby sevens, but netball, do we really need it at the Commonwealth Games? Do we need squash at the Commonwealth Games? Possibly not.
Well, no. I mean, you go to Paul Cole, you go to Susan DeVoy, you go to Ross Norman, you know, players of yesteryear. Now, admittedly, it wasn't part of the Commonwealth Games when Ross Norman and those guys were playing. But for Paul Cole, I mean, ask him, do you want a Commonwealth Games gold medal or do you want to win the British Open or do you want to win the Squash World Championships? And they'll argue definitely the British Open, definitely the World Squash Championships. So, you know, which suddenly makes it look like a bit of a third-tier event. Look, yeah, it's sort of, you know, Christchurch. It's like, well, you know, I always said this. When we had the earthquake, I always felt that Christchurch should have bidded for the 226 games years ago, because you needed to build all the stadiums and stuff anyway. You needed to build a lot of the infrastructure. The only thing that probably would have been more of a need or more of a want than a need probably would have been a velodrome. But, you know, Christchurch is saying, well, where are you going to hold the track and field? Where are you going to find $1 billion to build a new stadium? I mean, they're building a new stadium down there, but they haven't catered for a track to be put in. The ground's simply not big enough. So it's a little bit delusional, I think, for the mayor of Christchurch.
I'd have to agree there. Anyway, the next one, the Women's World Cup football. And, of course, the Emperor was there, probably looking for his close, telling us that he wants us to get to the Women's World Cup. And the Emperor would have been happy with the football ferns. Probably after a really tough day in Auckland, we actually needed that bit of happiness, Mark.
Yeah, look, it was a great moment of nationalism, wasn't it? I watched it, you know, when it was 90 minutes and they suddenly had 9 minutes of injury time. I think everybody was on the edge of their seat. I think if we hadn't missed the penalty 2-0, it would have been definitely enough. But look, it's what the tournament needed. It's what we need to get bums on seats. Look, we are hosting this tournament. I'm going to go this afternoon to the United States game, take my son and a couple of his mates. Probably more for the novelty. I'll be honest, I thought the standard of football, I'm so used to watching English Premier League football, and I thought the standard of football was actually pretty average, to be fair. Like, you know, I watch women's golf and their short game and stuff's as good as the men's. I watch women's swimming and it's incredible, and same with women's track and field, but I sort of watched that women's football. I'll be honest, I was pretty disappointed by the overall skill set, by the players. I thought it was actually a pretty damn awful game of football, to be honest. I thought the goal we scored was world class. But look, then I've sort of just realised, look, it is what it is. That's just the way the girls do play the game at the moment. It's not as fast. It's not as one touch maybe as the men's. But it's economy of scale. And I think once you can make that adjustment from what you're used to watching and accepting this for what it is, accepting it to be a World Cup, look, it's a wonderful tournament, and yeah, real great sense of nationalism on Thursday night, and well done to our women's football team.
Yeah, I'd have to agree, and you know, you were saying about the skill sets. Well, you'll probably be watching the favourites, so you'll watch the school level once you watch England and once you watch the United States. You know, the school level you'll see, but it will be so much better.
Yeah, I was just disappointed with some of the way, just controlling the ball and just some of the little sort of one-touch stuff at times. I just expected a little bit more, maybe. You know, there are a lot of girls play football in this country. I mean, I go every Saturday morning with my son. It's amazing how many girls and women play football. And I just thought that the skills weren't quite as maybe as high as I thought they would be, say, in comparison to what I've seen from other women's sports on the international stage.
That's a fair comment. But hopefully, once we get to the knockout stages, I think the quality will definitely go up. Mark, how was China there?
Yeah, no, it was good. So I just come back from commentating a UCI bike tour. So UCI, the governing body of cycling. This is what they call a continental level tour. And sorry, just hang on.
Yeah, sure, mate.
Sorry, just hear my son interrupting me there, Eamon.
That's okay, Mark.
So we got you there. Yeah, no, look, so it was the highest altitude bike tour in the world. Most of the stages were above 10,000 feet, and as I said, a continental level, so just below the world tour. And I had, we had a New Zealand trade team up there called Black Spoke Racing, which features James Orme, the current New Zealand road cycling champion, and they're very much set up by Murray Bolton of Bolton Equities to try and get more New Zealand riders on the highest platform onto the world tour. And they were competitive, but we had 22 trade teams, 155 athletes in total, and 30 countries represented. I've got to say, the Chinese it was incredibly well done. Stunning scenery up in the Western Province, up in the Tibetan Plateau. And, you know, at one point we're up at 13,500 feet. So, can't complain, mate. It was one of the real highlights, I guess, of my broadcasting career, as much because of the scenery, I think, and the fact that I went to some parts of China where tourists are not really supposed to go. So, yeah, got to see some parts of China that probably a lot of people haven't seen.
Absolutely. And, of course, Tour de France. Have you been following the Tour de France?
Yeah, look, I have. I'm a little cynical, mate. I see this Vingegaard, you know, winning the Tour de France. I see him just never has a bad day and then goes and does an individual time trial. And, you know, he's putting numbers out there which are just statistical outliers. And I'm expected to somehow believe that he can just do that after, 17, 18 days of riding the Tour de France. And I've always said this, mate. I'm not afraid to say it. I just don't believe you can win that thing legitimately. And, you know, when I start looking at some of the numbers there, I just look. It's the old saying. You hear it when it comes to making money and stuff. If it's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be legal. And I think cycling has damaged itself and its reputation for so long now that I think we are entitled to be a little bit pessimistic about it. And that's probably where I am, where I think maybe that tier below is probably a little bit more honest.
I must admit, Mark, I'm very, you know, I know a lot of friends of mine watch it, but I become very, very cynical about it, like yourself. You think, really, is this Tour de France or is it Tour de Pharmacy? We don't know because, you know, all of a sudden they can do marvellous things. And you're like, how the hell did they do that?
Well, you look at Chris Froome, you know, what's he won it 4 times or something, and he was with that Sky team, and suddenly you've got Geraint Thomas, and suddenly Sky out of the UK are just the most dominant team. They look like US Postal. Yeah, Froome has a bad crash, admittedly, but then, you know, rumours start to swirl around Sky. The team falls over, the team doctors are sort of questionable. Go and Google all this if you don't believe me, and next minute, you know, Chris Froome's just so bloody ordinary, it's not funny, mate. He can't even get a start in the Tour de France, and you know, but everybody thinks, oh, yeah, but he's English or he's American. And you go, yeah. As I said, if the riders that were winning had Russian or Chinese names, you'd be pointing the finger at them immediately because that's sort of, you know, we've sort of been brainwashed into that, haven't we? We've been socialised into believing that the only countries that cheat are, you know, not the Western countries. And, yeah, we need to wake up.
I'd absolutely agree. If anything caught your mind over the sporting week?
Oh, look, yeah, no, it's been hard because I've just come back. You know, clearly I haven't spoken to you, but I was impressed by the All Black victory last week. I managed to watch that while up in China. You know, the question mark for me is, and this is just something we haven't done because of rest and rotation, but we've got to win 3 big games in the space of 15 days to win the Rugby World Cup. Can we put 3 performances like that together in 15 days? I don't know, because we've never had the same team do that. You know, these guys are dumbed down, they're rested so much. I'd like to think that the same team that took the field against South Africa will be the same team that takes the field against the Wallabies in a week's time, and so that we can start to get some real continuity and we can see if the same group of players have that ability to go to that level week in, week out. You know, we proved that we're good enough on the day to beat any side, but then, you know, I think, as I said, it's the ability to be able to do it for 3 games in 15 days.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Well, Mark, I hope you really enjoy the soccer today, and we hope to catch up very, very soon, hopefully the next couple of weeks or so, and enjoy the rest of your weekend, Mark, and enjoy sports today.
Yeah, no, we'll aim and keep up God's work. Brilliant. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Absolute legend of New Zealand sport, of the New Zealand sporting radio scene, Mark Watson. You know, sometimes some people don't agree with him. He's honest, but he calls it the way he sees it. And that's the reason I've got him on my show, because he gives us that reality check we all need in life, and nobody does it better than old Watto. So anyway, we might as well get on to a bit of music. I'll try and hopefully I can get Dale Budge on the line and talk a bit of basketball. Great win for the Tuataras. After that, we'll probably do a quick wrap of what's happened overnight in the sporting world. And then we have Garth Galloway, then Noel Barkley.
you're still the same? Don't you realize the things we did, we did? We're all for real, had a dream. I just can't believe they've all faded out of view.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender on Planet FM. And of course, this hour has been sponsored by Green Security. Their number is 0984672999, and that's green with an E at the end of it. Or you can email them service@greensecurity.co.nz for the best in monitoring, security, insulation, guards. Go to Green Security. It's the way of the future. It's making a safer community to live in. Well, he is basking in the glory. The Tuataras are in the NBL Grand Final, and it was quite ironic last when we were playing ELO's telephone line, because that's what it was like last week when the phones went dead here. Welcome, Dale. How are you, Dale Budge, the Patamahoe kid? How's it going, mate?
Yes, sunshine in South Auckland at the moment. It feels like it, yes. To wake up knowing that we've got a spot in the grand final, it's not easy. You know, like at this point in the season, every team that made it through to the top six were capable of winning the thing. So delighted that we put in a good performance last night and have made it through to a grand final. And sit down and wait now to see who we play. Should be a cracking game tonight.
And, of course, anyone that doesn't know what the score was, Auckland 2, Ataras 92, the Bulls 67, Jared Weeks 28 points, Rob Lowe, who was named as the NBL Player of the Year, MVP, 24 points. Really great display by those guys.
Yeah, really good team performance last night. Weeksy obviously dominating with the point scoring, but it was a really rounded performance. Defensive focused. I mean, the Bulls poured in 120 odd points out before and an outstanding display against the Wellington Saints, knocked the Saints out. So the defence had to be top notch last night against a good side, and it was, I think, you know, 15 odd steals from the Tuatara across, you know, everyone getting in on the act, but it wasn't just one or two players, it was the whole team. And I was really nervous before the game. I thought the Bulls were outstanding the night before. It's tough for them, really tough to go back-to-back, to play back-to-back nights at this level. And so that's the advantage of finishing the regular season in top spot, is that the Tuatara avoid having to play back-to-back nights. So we get a night off again tonight and sit there and wait for our opponent. They're going to have to play on whoever that is, whether it's the Rams or the Nuggets. They're going to have to play on a back-to-back night to tomorrow night. So hopefully we can get the job done one more time and finish what's been a pretty amazing season.
Yeah, and of course, you know, and it's fantastic news, but, you know, the Franklin Bulls must be really happy with how they've progressed this season.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I live in Pukekohe, about literally 5 minutes from my home. I've spent a lot of time. The two franchises actually have worked together a lot. They were instrumental in the Tuatara getting involved in the NBL in the first place, the sales NBL. They shared budgets with us when we were looking into the idea. There's been obviously some players, Dan Forte, who played with us last year, and he's with the Bulls this year. So, we're disappointed that they had to miss out. I mean, it was neat to be able to play them and beat them, but at the same time, you know, there's a little bit of me, the South Auckland of me, that's disappointed that we ended what's been an amazing season. They've, you know, it's their best ever campaign in the Sales NBL, first time they made the playoffs. They were worthy opponents. We were super nervous going into it. So, massive. It's cold comfort. We found out the hard way last year when we lost the grand final. There's no real words that make you feel better about life, but I hope once the dust settles there, they can be extremely proud of what's been an amazing season. They can celebrate it accordingly.
And, of course, your opponent's playing tonight, the Otago Nuggets versus the Canterbury Rams. Well, I'm going to be straight to the point. Being from Christchurch, I'm going to be supporting the Rams. But, you know, the Nuggets have had a very, very good season. And for, you know, for anyone watching on TV, who are the players to watch in this game?
Look, I think, honestly, either side is more than capable of winning it. They've already split results. The two head-to-head games they played already this season were split one apiece. The two Webster boys up against each other, Ty for the Nuggets and then Corey for the Bulls, those guys are big game players. You know, if they turn it on and have a game, then they're more than capable of single-handedly winning it for their side. So I think Todd Withers will be a key factor for the Nuggets. Was in the running for Defensive Player of the Year, was also named in the All-Star 5 this year. He's a very, very good player at both ends of the court. Michael Harris is a big sharpshooter for the Nuggets as well. I think, you know, if he gets hot, it can be hard for the Rams. Tevin Brown has been outstanding down the stretch. Another player named in that All-Star 5, so, you know, he'll be a key figure for them. And, you know, I think the Rams got a lot of depth. There's a lot of players that can come off that bench and make an impact. So I think you're looking at maybe the two or three absolute guns for the Nuggets up against maybe a little more depth in the Rams organisation, but it should be a cracking game. Hard to call it. I personally would like to have a crack against the Nuggets in the final just because they beat us last year and it'd be fitting to play them again, but I think the Rams would be just as tough. I don't know that there's an easy path as such. I think each would be just as capable of winning as the other.
And of course, in the grand final, will that be held on at the North Shore Event Centre?
No, all games at Trust Stadium in Waitakere, so
So hopefully people can get out to Trust Arena and support the Tuataras. Really, they've had a fantastic season. They've got a great media bloke there. I think I sort of know him. Do you know him, Dale?
yeah. He wears a couple of hats, unfortunately. But, in all seriousness, you know, crowds were reasonably small on Thursday, Friday night. Just, I think, Auckland traffic and living in Auckland, I think we all understand how difficult it is to get around. But from what I'm hearing, the numbers for tonight and especially tomorrow night are going to be much different. So if you are thinking about it, I strongly suggest you get in and book your tickets. There's probably not that many left now for the final. So get in and make sure you get yourself there. It's been cracker.
Absolutely. And, of course, we'll talk a bit of basketball. Well, the Finn Delaney is coming back to the New Zealand Breakers. It looks like the Breakers are really beginning to form quite a good roster there, Dale.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Look, they, I mean, what they did season just gone was obviously inspiring. I think sort of made people fall in love with the Breakers again, fall in love with basketball again after those disrupted years through COVID. And, you know, they built a championship caliber side. They were a few minutes away from winning that thing last year. And, you know, you talked about the Bulls' success this year. No surprise there. Dan Sokolovsky, their coach, assistant coach to Modi Moore at the Breakers. And, you know, there's very similar traits, the way that they operate. Yeah, they're running a slick operation these days. And I'm sure that once our season finishes tomorrow night, you know, that attention will naturally turn to the Breakers. And there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic about it. Basketball's in a really good space at the moment in New Zealand.
It absolutely is, and of course, when you look at the Breakers, they've really picked up some great imports. You know, just a quick question I have to ask, like, with the Australian NBL, do a lot of the coaches or assistant coaches, is there quite a few involved in the New Zealand National Basketball League?
Yeah, certainly, it's certainly trending more and more that way. Obviously, our coach Aaron Young just recently announced that he's signed on as the assistant coach at the Perth Wildcats. They've kind of been, you know, the Melbourne Storm or the Crusaders of the ANBL over a long period of time now. So that's a blue ribbon gig for him. You know, Judge Level's obviously been involved. See, you know, there's, I think, 18 players, last count, 18 players involved in Aussie NBL teams across the Sales NBL this season. So, yeah, lots and lots of reasons for us to follow. I mean, you know, some of the early messages last night after our game, Jack Jumper's messaging about, you know, Jared Weeks and his performance, and likewise Ruben Tarangi with South East Melbourne Phoenix. You know, they're very quick to acknowledge. So, I mean, there's a lot of attention in Australia focused on what's going on this side of the Tasman at the moment. That's really encouraging.
And of course, one of the big things when the Breakers did join the Australian NBL, it forced a lot of good opportunities for New Zealand players.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, look, it's a genuine pathway now. I mean, look at someone like Dante Russo-Nance, who was with us last year. You know, prodigious talent at school. You know, was an amateur player, so he's playing starters minutes for us, like Charlie Dalton has this year. You know, doesn't he pay anything because he wants to keep that amateur status. Went off to school in the States, and the plan was to go to college, but the opportunity comes knocking to sign a multi-year deal with a team like the Perth Wildcats. He's opted not to go down the college route now and go down the professional ranks. And yeah, I think we're all pretty excited about, you know, what he's going to be able to do. Charlie's had that same opportunity. He locked in a college scholarship early in the piece this year, and that'll be where he goes off to California this year. But you know, I can tell you there's a fair bit of interest around the Aussie NBL and Charlie at the moment. A couple of teams trying to convince him that maybe the professional route is a better route at this point. But I think he'll stick with going to college and further in his academic side as well. It's pretty cool. Awesome opportunities for young Kiwis at the moment.
Yeah, it's great to hear that, because basketball really has picked up in this country. And, you know, I go back to the halcyon days of the National Basketball League in the 80s with the great rivalry between the Saints and the Rams. We had so many different, some of the great players like the late Kenny McFadden, Clive Huntley, the Kiwi players like Peter Pokai and John Dutchie Rademakers. You know, that's of an era now. Some of the youngsters listening would think, who the hell are those? But yeah, if you ever do, kids, there were some fantastic players back in the day. And, you know, I've really enjoyed watching the NBL this year. I've just enjoyed the standard. The standard's really good this year, Dale.
I think the overall standard is the thing that's the most impressive. I mean, yeah, you know, some of those names you listed and the rivalries that, you know, that have taken place over the years. And I think that's some stats the other night, or some paperwork that showed the finalists or the teams that were in finals over the last decade or so, and you look at it, you think, man, those teams are stacked. But in that era, there were a lot of, you know, sort of maybe two or three teams that were capable of winning the league, and the regular season was really a crapshoot just to get to a point of in the finals. That's where it really counts. But the league now, I mean, the Manawatu Jets finished last in this season's round robin, and for a long time we thought they were going to be a playoff team. There is not a lot of difference between top and bottom now, whereas I'm not sure you can say that going back in the years. It's not to play down how difficult it was to win championships. I'm sure it was just as difficult back then as it is to win them now. But the quality overall in the league and fan bases around the country all being excited about what their local team can do is a good thing. We don't want to just year in, year out, know you're going to make the playoffs and the two gets right. It's got to be a scrap to just get there. It means the world. It meant the world to the Bulls to get to the playoffs. And I'm sure next year that attitude will change and it will be about winning the league next year for them. But for the teams that missed out, it's disappointing. It's hard, you know. It's not easy to make the playoffs nowadays.
And I think, absolutely, and of course, good to see, how, especially after the lockdowns, how basketball has really bounced back. And it's, as per usual, Dale, it's always great chatting to you. Hopefully next week we'll have a chat and you'll be in a real good mood and the Tuataras win the NBL.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate your support. And, yeah, don't ring me Monday morning if we win. I might be a little bit dusty.
Oh, definitely. 7 o'clock, Dale?
I might still be awake by then.
Yeah, it's great what you do. And, of course, if people that not only is involved in the Tuataras, he's also got the Cannies Manukau Sports Hub, and really Dale does a wonderful job around the community. And I have to say, well, we'll catch you again, the great man of Padamahoe.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, mate.
Cheers. Dale Budge, fantastic. What a great conversation it has been about basketball. Well, I might as well give you guys just a quick update. The Open, Brian Harriman is leading after two rounds with 10 under, leading Tommy Fleetwood's there on 5 under. Yesterday, if you've been sleeping under a rock, obviously, in the Women's World Cup, New Zealand 1, Norway 0. Australia 1, Republic of Ireland 0, Nigeria 0, Canada 0, Switzerland 2, the Philippines 0, Costa Rica, Spain versus Costa Rica, 3-0 for Spain over Costa Rica, and there's a lot of games coming up. And of course, last night, the Warriors, a golden point win, Sean Johnson field goal, and of course, a win for the Broncos. Well, on the other side, we're going to get on cricket commentator, analyst, and all-round good bloke as well too, Garth Galloway. We're going to talk a bit about the Ashes and the comings and goings at New Zealand cricket. So I will just get us on a song right now.
Celebrate everyone with Zero.
Okay, we'll just try that again. Here we go.
Boy can delay the dedication, the devotion.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender on Planet FM, and of course before we get to Garth Galloway and talk a bit about the Ashes, we better give a shout out for our sponsors of this hour, Green Security. Now that is Green with an E at the end of it. Their number is 09 846 7299. Their email is service@greensecurity.co.nz for the best in monitoring, insulation, guards and security systems. Contact Green Security, the way of the future, making it a safer community to live in. Wow, the Ashes has thrown up so much this series. It just gives so much. Please hope the English weather, the English weather doesn't kick in. And here to chat to us, renowned cricket commentator and analyst, and probably one of the best cricket analysts you're going to get in this country. His name is Garth Galloway, and I'd like to say a very, very good morning to Garth Galloway. Good morning, Garth, and how are you this morning?
Good, thanks, Eamon. Very, very cold in Christchurch this morning. Overcast, a frost, and then the clouds coming in. So it's a good day to be indoors and reflecting on what's happening over the other side of the world. Just wonderful.
It is. I tell you something, that anyone that hasn't caught up with the Ashes, Australia went into bat first, we're all out for 317. Then England, 592. Zach Crawley, 189. But really, there was a lot of contribution. Of course, England fans would be happy. Johnny Bairstow, 99. But, you know, he really needed that innings, Garth.
Yeah, he did. And we talked last time, we spoke, Eamon, about his form keeping. And I saw an interview with him afterwards, and, you know, he made some good points. You know, it's 10 months since he had his surgery, and the surgeons were saying to him at that time he'd never played professional sport again. So he's worked incredibly hard to get back on the field. I mean, as I've said to you, I think his keeping's been pretty poor, but it has improved. And his contribution with the bat, you know, it just goes hand in hand. I thought that, I mean, he took a catch. You'll remember, to get rid of Mitchell Marsh, it was from Wokes' bowling in the first innings. And he dived away to his right. It was a ball that moved late from the right-hander, and he had to dive across in front of the first slip. It was a very good catch. Took the ball about an inch above the ground. And, you know, when things like that start to happen, then you can see a change in the way that players perform. And it really lifted Bairstow. I think his footwork's been better, and his batting was magnificent. I mean, England were not really forcing home the advantage, and then we saw such a good partnership. You know, the contributions by, I mean, Broad only scored 7 off 10 balls, but he hung around a bit for Bairstow. Anderson, 5 from 18, and Bairstow's 99 not out from 81 deliveries, a critical innings to put England well and truly in charge.
Absolutely. I have to agree with it. And of course, when, then you also look at the bowling of Wokes and Wood. They've just been fantastic in this test.
They have been. You know, England have been fortunate in being able to call on them. And with Anderson not being as penetrating as he has been in the past, those two have really had to step up. You know, Wood has taken 11 wickets at 16 and Wokes 12. At 18. And the other important factor, I think, in this test and throughout the series, if you look at the averages, you know, the economy rates of the bowlers, you know, England have been very good. And without wanting to dwell on statistics too much, I think this does tell an important part of the flavour of the series. Wood has gone at 3.3, Wokes the same, Broad 3.5, Robinson 2.7. and Stokes 3 and Anderson. He's bowled 108 overs, and while he's only picked up a couple of wickets, his economy rate is 2.7. And if you contrast that with the Australians, you know, England scored 592 at a run rate of 5.49. Australia just had no answers. And if you look at the series averages of the Australian bowlers, you know, Stark is going at 4.7, Hazelwood 4.6, Cummins 4, and listen to these figures, Marsh 5 and over, Green 5.1, and Boland 5. So all of them above 4.5 except for Cummins. And those figures will really be worrying Australia. You know, they are being put to the sword by this England batting lineup. The big issue for me is, as you say, there's 2 days of rain forecast in Manchester. It would be an absolute tragedy if England don't get to finish this one off and go into the last test at 2-all.
It would be an absolute tragedy. You sort of pray for that the English weather doesn't kick in, because, you know, we want to go to that fifth test, because this series, you know, it has got people watching. And this is why the Ashes, that brings out the most avid follower of cricket followers, the Ashes. This is why it's the ultimate series, Garth.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a series I love to watch. I think every cricket fan, you know, growing up through will remember the sort of first Ashes series that they started to follow. As I think I've mentioned to you in the past, you know, I grew up at a time when Thompson and Lilly were decimating the England batting lineup and bouncing the living daylights out of them. And so I always started to follow England more than Australia. My father grew up in the Bodyline series where, Jardine was directing Larwood to bowl league theory and bounces to the Australians with no protective gear. So he loved the Australians. It is interesting just looking at how this series has changed, though, and how it's turned. And as you know, I was at the test at Lord's when the Bairstow incident took place, and Kerry stumped him from a long way back when he walked out of his crease at the end of an over. And, you know, for me, it's just quite fascinating how that moment seems to have galvanised England even more. I think that they lost that test, but you had Stokes's brilliant 150, an angry innings, based on what had occurred, I think. And I just think that took the focus away from criticising England when they went 2-0 down. And I think the media may have been starting just to turn, because England's batting in that test was at times just reckless. And I think that's the only way to describe it. And suddenly England were able to get galvanised. The media focus turned on Australia. And, you know, and they've just gone from strength to strength since then. So I thought, an incredibly poor piece of sportsmanship by Australia, who are always on the wrong side of the ledger when it comes to that. And ironically, I think that moment has had the effect of really galvanising England, and it's worked against Australia.
It certainly has, and, you know, that moment was it wasn't cricket. Anyway, we might as well speak about some other cricketing news. Gary Stead has been reappointed in all three forms of cricket. Does that decision doesn't surprise you at all, Garth? Or?
No, it does surprise me. It's not the decision to reappoint Gary for the Test cricket. That doesn't surprise me. I mean, I think he's done without any pun intended, a very steady job for New Zealand. My understanding is that the player feedback and so on is very good about it. And so, I think he deserves to have an extension. You know, the life of a professional cricketing coach at international cricket is often not a long one. And, you know, I think he deserves reappointment. I had thought that he had said, though, at some stage that it was time to consider having separate coaches for white ball and red ball. So my surprise is that he's going to do all forms of the game. I don't think that is realistic currently. And I think, and I'm not sure it's the right thing for New Zealand. I think they should be more ambitious. It strikes me as a really conservative choice just to stick with the status quo. As we've talked about from time to time, I feel that New Zealand are just heading into a little bit of a hole in terms of the Test cricket. We're not seeing enough imagination from them, enough risk-taking, in my view, and it seems very conservative. And for a side like New Zealand to compete against the top sides, we do have to take risks. We do have to experiment a little bit. And I think, you know, this just strikes me as a very conservative decision. I thought that it would be great to see Gary coaching the test team and to have someone coming in and looking after the white ball side of things and just allow two coaches to focus on their special areas.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there because, you know, I believe if this could, you know, it's no offence to Gary. I think he's done a fantastic job as a coach, but he's just got too much on your hands and you need to have specialists. We've got specialists out there, whether it was a financial decision just to keep him on, whether they couldn't afford him, who knows. There, on better news, Kane Williamson, it seems as though they believe that he could be right for this World Cup, Garth.
That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, that would just be fantastic news for New Zealand. I mean, he plays such an important role. And, you know, if they could get him into that World Cup squad, I mean, it would make a massive difference in terms of their performance. I mean, he is a world-class cricketer. We've talked about it, you know, many times. He's a wonderful performer. And he also, I think it must give the team so much confidence having him coming in the middle order, the top order, and performing as he does. He's also, and people at times have been critical of Kane, you know, not scoring fast enough in the 50-over game. I tend to feel that criticism at times is unjustified. He's often going in with the fall of a wicket and or two and having to steady and shore up the chip, and he does that extremely well. So I sometimes feel that he's caught in that. He doesn't often come in when, you know, New Zealand, for example, are 100 or 150, and he can just bat with absolute freedom. More often than not, he's in there having to build after New Zealand have lost an early wicket. And I feel that, you know, he should be able to play that role, and he does it very well. I guess at times, you know, New Zealand will be looking for him to accelerate a little bit more, but they need to give him those opportunities of getting away to a really good start in the power play and so on, and getting Williamson going in when things are going, you know, when the momentum is upwards and ascending, as opposed to when we're on the back foot.
I'd have to agree with you there, Garth. And, of course, in other news during the week, Sports Entertainment New Zealand has won the broadcasting rights for radio to cover radio coverage for the New Zealand Cricket Samba. I'm really hoping that we get to hear you behind the mic with Jeremy Coney.
That would be lovely. Thank you very much. I very much look forward to doing it. Jerry and I've been, because, of course, you know, SENZ hasn't had those cricket rights, so we haven't been broadcasting the home matches, but we did broadcast, as you know, the tests from India from a studio in Addington here in Christchurch, and Jerry came down from Picton and stayed with us, and we, you know, we spent many long hours on there at night time till the early hours of the morning, and then did the Pakistan tests at Christmas this time as well. It was, I mean, it was great fun, good working with Jerry and with Daniel McCarty and Richard Petrie. And, you know, very much hoping that SENZ can get a commentary team together and hopefully move us around together and get some continuity going. Because, I hope listeners will be excited about it. I'm really excited that we can have, you know, a quality cricket commentary team and a great product put out there for listeners. I think, you know, New Zealand cricket listeners are entitled to that. I think they enjoy quality commentary. Coney is, you know, just an outstanding commentator. He's over a comments person. He's over there in London. I mean, the BBC have used him many times. He's working with Essie and Ian over there at the moment. And, you know, he had so much. We're incredibly lucky to have him. So hopefully, with Australia coming over here, Bangladesh, a series against Bangladesh before Christmas, then Australia and South Africa, you know, it's going to be a wonderful summer of cricket here in New Zealand in 2023-2024.
Yeah, it should be a cracker of a summer. I'm really looking forward to. Hopefully we can chat during that. Hopefully we can get Mr. Coney on. I'm really looking forward to chatting maybe both of you, because I enjoy both of you as commentators very, very much. Garth, I'm going to say thank you very much. I always enjoy our chats on cricket, and let's hope for an England victory, and then we can have a chat next week, and hopefully we'll be looking at an England victory in the Ashes.
Well, if they do it, I mean, it does, you know, one doesn't want to get ahead of ourselves, do we? But we, it does have that sort of, that feeling of 81 all over again, and listeners who who were around then will, you know, well, people will remember that Ian Botham was the England cricket captain and he was dropped and Mike Brearley was brought in. And England followed on and heading there and went on to win that test match. It was just an extraordinary thing. And then to win the series under Brearley's captaincy. And while we don't have those sort of comparisons, we do have comparisons with the way the game's being played. And also, you know, if England can get there in this test match, and they should have, weather permits, to come back, if they're able to come back from 2-0 down, it really will be the stuff of boys' own manuals.
Absolutely. Gar, thank you very much. You have a great rest of the weekend, and hopefully we'll catch up next week. Cheers, Garth.
All the best. Nice to talk.
Cheers. Garth Galloway, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. He is, you know, I can listen to him all day. And the feedback I get when I have him on the show is just brilliant. We're just going to play a bit of music, and then we're going to cover Northern Regional Football and the Women's World Cup with former All-White Noel Barkley.
Again in this mean old town, and you're so far away from me. And where are you when the sun goes down? You're so far away from me. You're so far away from me. So far I just can't see. You're so far away from me.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. Well, we're heading towards the last part of the show. We're going to bring it home before we get to our football analyst and all-white great Noel Barkley. Let's give a big shout out to the Green Security, who are part of the sponsorship team. Their number is 09 846 7299, or you can email them service@greensecurity.co.nz, and that is green with an E at the end of it. And if you're looking for the best and security, insulation, guards, go to Green Security, the way of the future, making it a safer community to live in. While we might as well rip into the football hour, and it's a great pleasure to have online my good friend Noel Barkley. Noel, how are you, mate? I know that you're suffering a bit, but you know, you're here, and that's the main thing, and people will really want to hear you.
Yeah, thanks, Eamon. Yeah, it's a bit of a nasty call, but yeah, it's a nice sunny day and lots of things happening in the football world to be excited about. So,
let's rip into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll start off a bit of Northern Region football. Of course, some of the games today: Takapuna versus Mangarewa, Eastern Suburbs versus Manukau, and Hamilton Wanderers versus Western Springs. Some of your thoughts on those, Noel?
Well, certainly, it's sort of moving day in the Northern League. I mean, if Auckland City and Eastern Suburbs win today, they'll qualify straight away. So there is
you know, there's action at the sort of qualification stage, and there's obviously action at the bottom. Takapuna at home to Man Uri, where if they, you know, they just must win. And the Olympic won last week, but of course Manukau won as well. So that's sort of still a real battle there. Hard to see Man Uri were not winning. They're still in that race. There's about five teams playing for that fourth spot, and Birkenhead and Hamilton Wanderers both have games in hand. So I think Takapuna will definitely struggle. Suburbs will beat Manukau at home for sure.
And of course, that Wanderers Western Springs match. Well, I'm going to pick a draw in that one.
Well, that's probably the biggest game of the round, really, because they, with Hamilton obviously home advantage, and they're still a few points behind Springs, but they've got a game in hand. So if they were to win today and still have a game in hand, they would probably be one of the favourites to be the fourth team. And it's probably a while since the Hamilton team have ended up in that top four. It's a bit odd to see two Hamilton teams playing at home on the same day, Melville at home to Auckland City, which you sort of wonder if the sort of the schedule hasn't been a little bit messed up there. But it's finally people will be playing on a nice sunny day, which is we haven't had for a while, so that's exciting.
Yeah, of course, Melville versus Auckland City. West Coast Rangers versus Birkenhead. I think Birkenhead too good there. No, and of course...
West Coast Rangers lost badly against the Olympic last week. Birkenhead really sort of been struggling to sort of hang on to that fourth spot. Haven't really been the power that they were last year. But again, they got a game in hand. They win this game, they win the game in hand. And for them, it's probably going to be a battle between Springs, Birkenhead, and Hamilton Wanderers, because I do fancy Hamilton Wanderers to beat Springs today.
Yeah, and of course Auckland City versus Bay Olympic, and as much as I like some of the good people out at Bay Olympic, Auckland United, I think Auckland United will be just too good for that one.
Yeah, and I think, Bay Olympic have been disappointing, although they had a good win last week. Auckland United, knocking on the door again, they're definitely the third best team in that competition, with a sort of five point gap to fourth, and... home advantage. I'm not quite sure where they're playing, and they've come parked, so they're playing that game away, of course, because of the Football Ferns are using the name of the ground.
Is it Pars Park they're playing at it?
That's Keithay Park is where Auckland
That's Keithay. Whether they might be playing at an Olympic Park out on Blockhouse Bay, is it?
It's down as Crum Park, but I think probably the Olympic Park. So yeah, that won't help because they lose home advantage. But that's part of the things you got to do when there's a FIFA World Cup, on your doorstep.
And absolutely, so we might as well get to it. No Norwegian Women's Premier football this weekend as the Women's World Cup kicks into gear. Well, I'm going to be straight to the point. I've been critical of this Football Ferns team, and I've probably been critical of the promotion of this World Cup. We were going to say how we felt about it, but unfortunately, the phone lines went down on us, and that's why we couldn't talk about it. But I will say this, and the criticism has been deserved, straight to the point, but Thursday the country really needed this after what happened earlier on in the day, and the Football Ferns won, Norway nil.
Yeah, look, maybe it's a good thing we didn't get a chance to talk last week, because we probably would have been a bit sort of a negative Nancy. I didn't see this coming, and my peers, my group, my football community also didn't see it coming. I think what they were able to do, and it was probably to do with the sort of 8 or 9 weeks that they had together leading up to the event, where they got super fit. I mean, absolutely, they were super fit. They were first to the ball, winning every tackle. Katie Bowen was just absolutely unbelievable at the back. CJ Bott too. So they sort of grew a leg. And they were able to go and compete against a team who were obviously fancied. And in the process, the fact that they won has brought the middle, the middle sort of football sports fan who are not necessarily football fans. I mean, every TV presenter, every every radio presenter, everybody I know now is a football fan, and that's great. I mean, if that was the legacy that we required from this event at an absolute minimum, they've probably achieved it already. And the fact that their other games are selling out, and other, I mean, the crowds in Dunedin last night and obviously in Wellington were very good. So it's had a spin-off effect. The football's it's different. It's frenetic. It's not a possession-based game, but they were amazing. I thought they were incredible. I'm not sure they've got that much sort of depth off the bench. But if they can sort of get the 11 starters on fire, and you know, it's absolutely hopeful that we can get out of the group.
Yeah, and of course we've got the Philippines this Tuesday, and I think every bar, just about people that weren't showing them are now showing it, and like, I'll be probably popping in after work to grab my seat and watch the football ferns. And you know, the Philippines, they play Switzerland, and of course Switzerland, you know, Switzerland, they're a higher ranked team, but the Philippines weren't that bad, Noel.
No, they weren't that bad. I mean, they scored first, obviously, with an offside goal, which was offside. I was really impressed with Switzerland, I have to say. I've watched every game now, and the only two teams who played a possession-based game and looked comfortable on the ball was probably Spain and Switzerland. Switzerland, the number 10 that scored the penalty, she's very good. And I think even if the Fern beat Philippines, which I sincerely think they will, in front of 33,000 in Wellington, I still don't think it'll be enough. I think Norway will completely, I mean, they'll bounce back, probably beat Switzerland, and then it'll be on that last game. And there's the potential that you could have three teams on 6 points and getting into goal difference. So I think it's a bit of a nail-biter. You know, the games have been great. Australia were disappointing. They beat Ireland, and I thought Ireland were actually very good. So it's hard to judge because, like the Philippines, they hadn't played in a year and a half. So, how do you expect to sort of play well in a World Cup if they haven't had the preparation?
Yeah, I was just going to say, the Australians look a very, very different side without Sam Kerr there.
Yeah, I think they've overhyped themselves. You know, they came out with a big video about equal pay and stuff like that the day before the event. And look, I get it, you know. We're on a journey to for equality, and then look how far it's come. But they sort of, you know, popped off and then really didn't back it up on the pitch. And people said it was an amazing performance. I didn't see that. I saw a couple of the Irish players that actually looked really, really classy, like McCabe, especially post for Arsenal. I thought they were a bit unlucky not to draw that game. But yeah, Sam Kerr, what a difference she makes, because she just bombed the ball forward and she somehow got the pace and strength and scores goals. So I've sort of gone off them a little bit in terms of them sort of being a surprise for the tournament. But I think today's games are going to be really interesting and sort of get a bit of a gauge on England and the USA, despite the fact they've got what we think are easy games.
Yeah, just going back to some of the yesterday's games, Canada versus Nigeria. Canada missed a penalty, and of course, Spain looked very good against Costa Rica as well.
Yeah, look, I watched those games. Again, you know, this is the thing with women's football. You know, the scribes are saying, you know, Canada's going to win. You know, I think they were $1.10 or something ridiculous. I actually picked the draw at $4.50. So, $5.50. So you know what I mean. And to be honest, it was a decent draw. Nigeria looked good. Spain obviously had a great first half, and Costa Rica did really well in the second half to make sure they didn't get absolutely tonked. Good crowd in Wellington. Spain have put the hand up. New Zealand have put the hand up. And for me, the Swiss, boy, Norway, they've got to get. They'll be getting a rocket. I've been reading some of their stuff that's been said in their press, and with world class players, and they just did not deliver.
Yeah, and of course, then we go to today's game. And of course, I was leaving because, as you know, I live near Eden Park, and there are a few USA fans. And, you know, I tell you what, it's going to be quite a big crowd there for today's match, USA versus Vietnam. And, of course, we've got Japan versus Zambia and England versus Haiti. And, of course, you know, I'm going to be quite honest with you, Noel. I think this is where we're going to see the big scores today come out.
Yeah, and you know, I hope that it doesn't, but you have to take on board. We've seen Vietnam We know what the US are capable of. It's, you know, obviously the weather is going to help today. Obviously with the games being postponed in the women's area, there's going to be a decent crowd and big expectations in the US. You know, some of their, if you think of some of their strikers, like, you know, the likes of Alex Morgan, you know, all she wants, all she's thinking about is winning the Golden Boot. Believe me, if a striker that's number one, and, you know, she'd be thinking, maybe I get a hat trick or four or whatever today, they will not be holding back. They will not be getting to 5-0 and then sort of taking the foot off the gas. It's just not them. And I think England's probably the same against Haiti. They're a bit of an unknown quantity. A lot of pressure on England to do well in this event. And Japan and Zambia, who knows? I mean, Zambia just beat Germany, so you just don't know how those games are coming out because we just don't see the players enough.
Yeah, and of course, then there's some of the games on Sunday. I'm really looking, I'm going to be interested to see the Netherlands versus Portugal. That could be an interesting match now.
Yeah, because Portugal, I mean, Portugal qualified in January through the, you know, the preliminary stage and obviously beat New Zealand easily, just drawn with England, 0-0. So there's no reason to think that they won't be competitive. It's an awful group for them, being in with the US and the Netherlands. And, you know, a little bit like, we don't know how the Netherlands are going to go. We don't, you know, we know they were good 4 years ago. But, you know, yeah, I think that'll be a very even game. It's one of those ones where people will expect the Netherlands to win comfortably, but Portugal ain't going to lay down. It could be a draw.
Yeah, and of course, Denmark versus China. You know, that's another game we should keep our eye out for.
Yeah, and the Chinese, I'm not sure about Denmark's prep, but China have had lots of games, and an emerging football nation, both men's and women's. And again, I see that as an even game, hard to pick.
Of course, then we have France versus Jamaica. I think France will be too good. Sweden, South Africa. It'll be interesting, Noel, but this could be another one-sided game, and Brazil, Panama, and then we've got Germany, Morocco. Probably it'll be interesting to see what the Brazilians and the Germans bring to this competition, along with the French and the Swedish. And of course, I think this game could be a real good one on Monday at Eden Park, Italy versus Argentina.
Yeah, well, there's certainly about 500 or 600 Argentinians coming from Waiheke for that game. Both two passionate football nations, lots of Italians in Auckland. They probably struggled to get a pizza or pasta on Monday night, but I think it will be a very even game. And again, Argentina looked quite good. But I think after these round of games, we'll sort of get a bit of a feel for who's who. The big teams will make their statements today, I think, and over the next couple of days.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you, of course, when we look at it. And, of course, it was very lax of me, and, of course, I didn't mention on there, also played on the Tuesday to finish out round one, South Korea versus Colombia. Korea will be the Asian influence will be very, very interesting, because Japan, China, South Korea have a very good women's football team. So, you know, there's a lot to look forward to in this week, Noel.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that South Korea-Colombia game, because obviously Colombia are a very physical team, and obviously we're all aware that they played Ireland in a friendly and the game was postponed. I think also we've seen to see how the officials and VAR and stuff like that looks, been pretty good so far, apart from maybe the Philippines goal and the penalty yesterday was, in my mind, it was never a penalty. Can't believe
that. I agree now, yes.
Got the referee to look. That referee took one player 5 minutes into the game for grabbing somebody's shirt. Well, you know, if you start like that, you know, you need to go on with it. So, yeah, look, it's interesting to see. Hopefully, that she just looked a little bit out of her depth. And it didn't affect the game, so that's probably a good thing. But, it's interesting that everything, I mean, the referees don't seem to be making the decision. They're waiting on VAR to make the decision, and that's a bit disappointing. I mean, the penalty for Canada against Nigeria, I mean, you did not need to go to the camera. I mean, that was the dead cert penalty. But it seems to be a bit of a thing, which means obviously it holds the game up, and we're all standing around waiting for the referee to look at the screen.
Yeah, I must admit it does get frustrating with the VAR because it does take a lot of time. And, of course, watching that football Ferns match.
And where did they get 9 minutes? Where did they get
don't even get me started, Noel. That was just, I must admit there was, I basically was, let me say that the space contents went there and it was almost going to turn to whiskey because it was getting so nerve-wracking. Anyway, Noel, thanks so much for coming on here. I've really I enjoy your input on the show, as do all of our listeners. And you take care and you have a wonderful weekend, and go the Ferns for Tuesday.
Absolutely. Have a good time, Matt.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks, Noel. Well, that was Noel Barkley. God, he's fantastic. And he's just been, you know, I really enjoyed chat with Noel and, you know, speaking to him, a pure gentleman. Well, you know, we're just about coming to the end of the show. Well, what a week it's been, you know. Saturday, the All Blacks, so convincing over South Africa. Have we shown our hand too early? Let's hope not. Will Jordan, is he 100%? Yes or no? Is Sam Whitelock coming back? Yes or no? Then we play Australia. Well, we should really beat Australia, but as we all know, Crafty Eddie plays a very, very long game. Sunday, the Warriors. Well, let me just say this. The Prince of Penrose is now the King of Go, as not only was he inspirational in the Warriors' wins over the Sharks, and last night with the Golden Point win over the Canberra Raiders. During the week, Commonwealth Games, the Australians, we don't want it. Is it the end? Well, I suppose the generation we have today, I suppose we're very good at throwing away that something that's been there for 93 years. And, of course, on Wednesday, you know, the FIFA arrived, and the Emperor, pretty much like the previous Emperor, stood up there looking for his clothes, telling us he wanted us to go to the World Cup. Well, yes, okay, Emperor, we will go to the World Cup if you find your clothes. Thursday, really sad start to the day, and my thoughts and prayers goes out to the victims' families. Really, it was quite an eerie feeling. And, you know, with every bit of sadness, we needed that bit of happiness. And the moment of the week for me was the football Ferns won Norway 0. We really needed it. The city needed it. The country needed it. It put back smiles on our face. Well, everyone, I've really enjoyed today. It's actually nothing's gone wrong. And I am going to close out. Have a great weekend. Whatever you're doing, if you're going to the football, watching your local club sites, enjoy yourselves. Have a great weekend. I'm going to leave you with a song.
Airwaves, here is my request. You don't have to play it, but I hope you'll do your best. I've been listening to your show on the radio, and you seem like a friend to me. Yes, she needs a dedication just the same. Late at night, I'm still listening. Don't waste my time chasing sleep. People say I look weary, but that's just the company I keep.
Ooh, you make the nighttime race. Ooh, I don't need to see your face.
You're sounding good.
Sounding good.
Sounding good.
So you think you know Wix,